This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Dr. Michelle Critella with us on the program. Dr. Critella is president of the American College of Pediatricians, which is a national organization of pro-life pediatricians and other healthcare professionals dedicated to the health and well-being of children. She is a board-certified general pediatrician with a focus on adolescent health. Dr. Critella is with us today to discuss a recent policy statement from the American College of Pediatricians that highlights the harms of pornography for children. Dr. Critella, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back on Family Policy Matters. And before we begin our conversation, I do want to alert parents that we're going to be talking about an important but somewhat difficult topic today. Of course, we will endeavor to keep it as PG as possible, but some parents may want to wait and listen to this show later online at ncfamily.org on the North Carolina Family Policy Council's website. Again, that's ncfamily.org, particularly if little ears are listening in. And with that, Dr. Critella, pornography has become widespread throughout our society, especially due to sexually explicit material on the internet. We know there is a substantial risk that young people will be exposed to pornography online at some point, either by accident, intentionally, or because someone in their vicinity may be viewing it as well. From your experience, how great is the risk, and at what age are we seeing boys and girls exposed to pornography?
I usually, in a situation like this, I would encourage parents to just assume the worst. We have such a proliferation of social media and cell phones, even smartphones. I mean, I'm seeing younger and younger kids, even in grade school, having smartphones. With that access to the internet, the chances of accidentally coming across porn at some point is probably close to 100% for most kids. I can tell you that 5 years ago, there was one study that found 30% of freshman and sophomore high school students reported that they first were exposed to porn at age 10. So, and I can tell you now, I practice in Rhode Island and Connecticut, and in up here, that is often the case. Kids as young as 9 or 10 being accidentally exposed to porn when they're just be it looking at maybe an older sibling's Facebook page or email accounts, you know, get spammed and they just don't realize, you know, what could potentially be there. I think it's also concerning because, again, going back 5 years, the pornography has been so pervasive that one study found 70% of teen boys and 50% of teen girls thought porn was acceptable. And I would say, as a pediatrician, having the cell phones and the phenomenon of sexting, of sharing explicit pictures between boyfriend and girlfriend, I think that also plays into the acceptance of perhaps harder porn as well.
Yeah, it makes me think back to not that long ago when we were warning parents about having good filtering software on their computers at home and, of course, at work and at our public schools and libraries. But now children are carrying access to the internet around with them all day long with their cell phones and potentially other devices. That transformation has really taken place in a very short period of time, and I would venture to say has probably either caught a lot of parents off guard or has simply sort of flown under the radar screen, where that immediate constant access is available to any child that has a cell phone practically 24 hours a day. And the need for parents to be aware, to be in tune with what their children are viewing, both on computer and on other devices, is so critically important.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I think, you know, in the old days, porn was, you had to go to your XXX bookstore or wherever, but yeah, now it's just a click away. That I think the best thing parents can do is not only have the filtering systems, for sure have them, but also talk with your kids about that. Some parents integrate the filters or spy on their kids' cell phone use or whatnot without telling the kids. But in fact, it's better to take the opposite approach, is just to be upfront with your kids as soon as you even think about giving them a cell phone. You know, I have four children, and we were upfront with them about why they would not own a cell phone before ninth grade. That would be their eighth grade graduation gift, would be a cell phone. And even at that, it would not have internet access. But they understood why we were doing it. And they also had to deal with being different from a lot of their peers in that regard. But because we were always very open, they accepted that.
Right. Well, that's so important. And I know I have two children in high school, in public high school now, and there's almost an expectation by several of their teachers that the students will have devices that have internet access that they can use for research during class throughout the school day, at library, as well as at home. Talk a little bit about how consistent exposure to pornography really can distort a young man's view of women and a woman's view of her own self-worth.
Right, absolutely. Now, especially whether I'm speaking with Christian or secular parents, my message is always the same, that our sexuality is a gift. But in particular, when I'm speaking with families who are believers, I encourage the parents to teach their children that sexuality is just simply, it's a gift from God that we reserve. It's the gift of ourselves reserved for our husband or wife. Now, that's the beautiful, you know, sex is beautiful. Our whole sexuality, our whole person is a beautiful gift. That's in contrast to what the kids will absorb if they're watching porn. I mean, in porn, it's not about gifting. It's about taking, and it's just about sexual pleasure for usually one person. So it's just reducing sexuality to just the physical pleasure of one person at the expense of another. And usually that the woman in particular is just viewed as a thing. She's just a sex toy. And we know through studying men in particular who are hooked on porn, they have a much more callous view toward women, and they are much more accepting of the idea of abusing women, even rape. Now, from the girl's perspective, porn is going to totally reduce her self-worth to just whatever's skin deep. And the concept that she's only important or valuable if she is sexually appealing to a man, and that she exists just to please a man, even to the degree of being emotionally or verbally abused or even physically and sexually abused. I mean, these are horrible messages that are just woven into her psyche as she becomes repeatedly exposed to these images.
And I know that the younger a child begins either being exposed to or practicing those behaviors, the more likely they are to continue that and to kind of dive deeper and deeper, whether it's drugs, alcohol, and viewing pornography. Do you, as a pediatrician, consider pornography to be similar to a drug or alcohol addiction or some other form of addiction?
Yes, the more scientists and researchers study brain chemistry and brain activity, we're finding that porn triggers the same addiction hormone, if you will, in the brain, the same one that is triggered by drugs and alcohol. And this is especially harmful to kids because their brains are not fully mature. And so it's for that reason that sort of the younger a child is when they first start smoking, drinking, using drugs, or viewing porn, that addiction can be more quickly acquired and more difficult to overcome.
Hmm.
So, yes, yeah.
And based on this awareness, obviously the American College of Pediatricians is urging pediatricians across the country to discuss the harms of pornography with young patients and their parents. As a pediatrician yourself, how do you handle discussing this topic with parents of adolescents, your patients, and those adolescents themselves in a way that is both age-appropriate, respectful of parental rights, and effective in getting this message out there so that parents and children are aware of the harms of this?
I'm going to answer that sort of in at three different stages of child development. So if when I have, let's say, the 2 to 3 year old visit, at those visits, young children are discovering their private parts, and I'm sure have already had conversations with their parents to some degree or another. And I encourage parents that if their children bring questions up about their private parts, or you're talking typically about modesty and why, you know, bathing suit parts and so forth, to teach children that these are private parts that you share just with mommy, you know, mommy and daddy or the doctor, not for shaming reasons, but because they are beautiful and precious and gifts from God, for example. So starting that way. As they're a little bit older and they're going to be exposed, maybe using computers not under your supervision or playing games on phones with internet access, I encourage parents to let their children know, sweetie, honey, sometimes you can pictures might come up that surprise you or make you feel yucky or confused or maybe even guilty. If you ever see something that bothers you, that makes you feel yucky, please tell me, and I will help you. That way you're not you're not being explicit, but you're honing in on anything that they might
right.
see or read that bothers them. You want to know about it as a parent, so to couch it in those terms, that's going to be helpful for the child, and they're going to come to you versus someone else. And then when I am dealing with and now the middle school age, where particularly we can have a conversation about, you know, sometimes middle schoolers send inappropriate pictures across their cell phones, and that can kind of lead into a discussion that way. But it's done with the parent in the room. And so that's generally how I would go about it. And then by the time, you know, high school, you can be, again, a sort of a little more explicit talking about, pornography is pretty prevalent among high schoolers. And you can kind of tailor it to both the parent and the teenager, who, as pediatricians, we've typically known them for years at that point. So you can be very respectful. And it's the type of topic that I would always introduce with the parent present, and particularly if I've known them over the years, it becomes easier to have this conversation. If parents want sort of more detailed examples of how to answer children's questions about sexuality in general, one book that I do encourage parents to look up and purchase is called Questions Kids Ask About Sex. And it is sold and published by the Medical Institute for Sexual Health.
Well, great. Well, thank you for that recommendation. And also, before we have to leave, and we're just about out of time for this week, Dr. Curtella, but I want to let you have an opportunity to tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about the American College of Pediatricians and also find out more about the policy statement that you published, again, entitled The Impact of Pornography on Children.
Yes, absolutely. We want to encourage all your listeners to learn more about the College of Pediatricians. You can find us at acpeds.org. That's acpeds.org.
Dr. Michelle Curtella, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of what we know is a very busy schedule to be with us today on Family Policy Matters and for the great work that you do at the American College of Pediatricians.
Oh, thank you so much.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.